We are on Nunches Amid Aleph. We're going to go back three lines or so, just to start from the beginning.
58A2,
correct. In the middle of the page. In the Mishnah it said, we're learning that if you do Kedusha with something which is forbidden to Ahana, it's not a good Kedusha. So then the Mishnah says, what happens if you sold these things, like the examples of the Mishnah, the birds of a Metzeda, Eglarufa, you know, all the various things that the Mishnah said. Yeah? Orla, Klea, Kerem, Sharaniskol, all these things which you're not allowed to benefit from, the Mishnah says it's not a good Kedusha. Then the Mishnah says, what happens if you weren't allowed to, but you sold them? And you got money, and you did Kedusha with the money, so the Kedusha is valid. Okay? So the Gemara says, Minolan, from where do we learn this out from? Maybe, because maybe the money is also forbidden to benefit from. So the Gemara says, it sounds like this, Midigale Rachmana Bavedis Kuchovim, because by Avedis Zora, by idol worshipping, the Torah says, Vayisachedim Kamayu, that it will be banned like the idol itself. That means, like we learned, if you have an idol, you can't benefit from it. If you sell it, the money becomes forbidden. Right? You're not allowed to sell, but if you sell it, the money becomes forbidden. So therefore, kol shatam chayei menu, whatever you generate from the Aveda Zara, harehu kamayu, it's like the idol worshipping itself. Now the fact that the Torah by idol worshipping says this, it means only idol worshipping. That everything else which is forbidden to benefit from, if you do, you're not allowed to, but if you sell it, the money does not become similar to the object you sold. So therefore, one second, therefore, the Mishnah says, we learn out from Aveda Zora, that by Aveda Zora, not only is the object forbidden, the money is forbidden too. But everything else, not. Therefore, if you sell Orla, Klaya, Kerem, Shara, Niskol, any of that stuff, the money is a good Kedusha.
But if you're not allowed to benefit from it, using the money from it is...
But that's what the Gemara is saying. You're not allowed to benefit from it, therefore you did something wrong selling it. Correct? You weren't supposed to sell it. But the sin doesn't go onto the money. In other words, the forbidden benefit stays only... Except by idol worship, and one more thing the Gemara is going to say. Only over there does the money transfer, it continue to the money. Right? By all the other things, it doesn't.
The transaction
stays. So what happened? I'll give you an example. To taking along the same thing over here. I'm not allowed to do business on Shabbos. Right? What happens? I did business on Shabbos. I made money. And with this money, I did Kedushin.
It's okay. That's
illegal. It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah. You weren't allowed to do the business, but the money doesn't become forbidden. Only by Aveda Zara it becomes forbidden.
Or if it's stolen money.
Or if you acquire it, it's still yours. So now the Gemara says, okay, v'neilef mino. So maybe Aveda Zara teaches us for the whole Torah. He's telling me it's only Aveda Zara, but nothing else. So the Gemara says, maybe let's learn out from all Torah from Aveda Zara. That just like Aveda Zara, the money is also forbidden. Maybe everything else, the money becomes forbidden. So the Gemara says, Mishum Davedis Kuchovim Mushvia Shnei Ksuvim Bam Kechot. Because Aveda Zara and the din of Shemitah is two psukim, the kum is one. Meaning like this, there's a rule that we're soon going to see. It's a rule we learned already before in the Gemara. When the Torah says a din, technically you would be able to learn from there for the whole Torah. But if the Torah says the same din twice, that means, let's say, by Aveda Zara, the money is forbidden. By Shvius Shemitah. Okay? If you sell Shemitah, the money becomes Shemitah. Okay? We'll soon discuss the din.
Shemitah is
the seventh year. Yeah. The fruit of the seventh year are ownerless. What happens if you sell it? The money becomes ownerless. That means just by Aveda Zara, it goes to the money too. By Shvius, it also goes to the money. Now, there's a rule, not according to all opinions, but one opinion in the Gemara says the following. The fact that the Torah says the din in two places, if the Torah would mean the din applies all over the place, then let the Torah say it once. The fact that the shnei ksuvim, two psukim, that come as one, meaning teach me the same din, why is the Torah doing it? Because the Torah is telling me only these two cases, but nowhere else. Okay, so the Gemara's question over here was, maybe, let's learn out from Aveda Zara, that the money is also forbidden. So the Gemara answers, no, because Aveda Zara and Shvias, Shmit, I'll explain these things, I'll explain in a second. Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'achot, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'achot, anytime this opinion, is an argument, as we soon see, but this opinion holds, anytime there's two psukim teaching me the same dim, Ein Melamdim, you can't learn out for the rest of Torah. So therefore the Gemara answers, because Shemitah, Shvias, and Aveda Zara teaches us the money becomes the same, meaning all over the place not. The Gemara says, where do we see this din by Shemitah? So Gemara says like this, Aveda Kachavim Hodamar, the din of Aveda Zara, the din we just said. Right, that it goes to the money. Shvias Mahi, where do we see that by Shvias, by Shemitah, the money also becomes Shemitah? Because it says in the Torah, Yevil he, by the year of Yovel, right, the Jubilee of the 50th year. Kedesh Tiyalachem, it should be holy. So it says, the Torah likens Yovel to Kodesh. What does the Torah say by Yovel? Kodesh, it's holy. So Ma'agdish, Jasi Behagdish. Tefis is dumb if the money also becomes holy. The same thing. Av Shvias, Tefes is the same thing, Shemitah, which is similar to Yevil, also gets the money also. Okay? That means, so the Gemara says, 1 minute. So the Gemara is in the middle of this proof. Imakedish Tefes is Dama V'yetzeluchun. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. If that's the case, by Hegdish, if you redeem it, then the money becomes holy, but the Hegdish becomes non-holy. Remember, if you redeem something from the Beis Hamikdash, so the object is holy, now you redeem it, the money becomes holy, and the object doesn't. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then Av Shvias Tefeses the Mehel, so by Shvias then there should be the same din, that the Shemitah fruits become unholy, and the money becomes holy. Talmud Leimer, that's what I would think. So the Torah says, Talmud Leimer, Tihiyah, it says, Kedesh, Tihiyah Lochem, Tihiyah means it should remain so. That means it remains that it doesn't exchange, unlike Hegdish. Keitzad, the Gemara says like this, what does this mean? So it says in the Brice like this, Lokach bepeirish shviyas basar. If a guy exchanged, fruit for meat. The Gemara says, Elo ve'elum is vadim b'shvias. The meat now has a din of Shemitah. You have to eat it that year and you have to treat it a certain way. Baser dogim. What happens then if a guy changes the meat for fish? So yotze baser, the meat becomes unshmita and the fish becomes Shemitah. Dogim yayin, if you change the fish for wine, so then the fish become unholy and the wine become, but not the first time. When you change Shemitah for meat, both remain holy. Then it goes further. If you change the meat for fish, then the fish becomes holy, not the meat. You change the fish for wine, the wine becomes holy and the fish become unshmita.
So what happens when you consume water?
No, you can consume just in the laws of Shemitah.
But I'm saying once you consume the final object that's remaining holy, then you become holy, what happens?
No, you have to eat it a certain
so
way.
So, like the meat, we can use it as condition after get up from the holy, the state of holy?
Yeah. 1 second, we're not done yet. He keeps going. Dogim yayin, if you change fish for wine, yotze dogim, the fish become unshmita, and the wine becomes shmita. Yayin b'shamen, if you change the wine for oil, then oil, the wine becomes unshmita, the oil becomes shmita. Okay, so what does this mean? The Mishnah finalized it. Acherin, acherin, nitfes b'shvias. The last one becomes shvias. What do you see from here? That not only aveda zara, does the money become aveda zara, but by shmita, the money also becomes Shemitah. Therefore, if it, the Torah says it twice, that the money becomes the same as the thing itself, and the Torah only says it twice, that means all over the Torah, it's not like that. The fact that the Torah says it two times, why is the Torah saying it twice instead of once? Because the Torah wants to teach us only these two dinim, it's like that.
But if it said it once?
Then we would be able to learn out all dinim from it.
We couldn't say it's only for that?
No. No, then, because the Torah doesn't say it clear by any other thing. So this is clear, then we can assume technically that this applies to the whole Torah. So the Gemara says no, but there's two psukim. Right? And in fact, the Gemara is going to ask a question, and if there's an opinion that says, you don't learn out from two psukim either. So then, what's the proof over here? Gemara says, hey, nichol amandi amad, ein melamdim. That's only good according to the opinion that says, two psukim, you don't learn everything else from these two. El amandi amad melamdim, but according to the opinion that says, that you could learn out from two psukim, meaning, if Aveda Zara and Shemitah teaches us the money is like it, we can learn out for the whole Torah. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika Lamema, how do you know? That means, how do I know in our Mishnah that if you sell these things, you could do Kiddushi with the money? Maybe it's like Shemitah and Aveda Zara that the money is also forbidden to benefit from. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's a new source. We don't learn it out because of two psukim. We learn it out like this. Miyat ksiv, because by avei dezoda, the Torah says, chedem hu, it's banned. Meaning, and by yevil it says, yevil hi. It's yevil, meaning, only yevil in midachrin no. Midachrin lo. Meaning like this. The Gemara says, not because of one pasuk, two psukim, it doesn't matter. By two places, by Aveda Zara and by Shemitah, the Torah says, Kredish, he, it is holy. By Aveda Zara, it says, it is disgusting. Okay? Over there it means, only by Aveda Zara and Shemitah, we learn this din, not by anywhere else. Because the Torah says, Aveda Zara is it. Shemitah is it. Which means you can't learn out from there for the rest of the Torah.
So if somebody trades in statues, you buy and sell statues, how do you know if it's been used for idols?
Oh, you don't know, Taka. But I'm saying that happens if you know a statue is bowed to.
So, how do you know?
I'm saying what happens if you know? Okay? And somebody buys it, the money becomes as forbidden as the statue. Somebody buys something with the money, that object becomes Aveda Zara. But the Gemara says the Pasuk Hu and He Kedesh He teaches us that there's a unique din only by Aveda Zara, only by Yovel, by Shemitah Yovel. It teaches us that the money is also the same din as the object itself, but nothing else.
Wouldn't this create a problem in the countries where Aveda Zara is rampant?
Of course it is.
To buy something with same Thailand?
No, the object itself has to be worshipped.
I said the money for it.
I'll give you an example.
Like Buddha.
Can a Jewish jeweler sell a gold cross?
That's a jewelry piece.
It's not worshipped, it's a jewelry piece, right?
Yeah.
Can you buy, let's say there was a big cross in a church, okay, and the church is having a garage sale. Garage sale. Gotcha. And somebody sells that cross because it was bowed to, a Jew can't buy it. A number of years ago, there was a big question on the Sheitlach.
Yes, true.
Because they came from Indian hair.
That's true.
And the way it was working in India at that time, it was a whole big commotion. They burned Sheitlach and Sheitel burning because it was Aveda Zara. If it was Aveda Zara, you can't benefit from it. You have to burn it. So people lost. Then they realized it wasn't such a big shaila. And after they killed tens of thousands of dollars All the shaitel makers started making everybody needed new shaitels.
What was wrong with the hair again?
Because the hair was like this. The people in India, there was a sect where they found out they get the hair from. In order to make a shaitel, you need long hair and you need thick hair. Thick hair is better hair than thin hair. Thin hair you can't work with. The Indian people have very thick hair. So they used to grow their hair long, and then what they would do is they'd sell it for shaitlach. But what they did was, because the hair was a sign of beauty, they would cut the hair in the church as a gift to the church, and then they would sell the hair for shaitlach. So then it became a shaila.
How
would
the Jews know this?
People know what's going on in the world. They googled it. So then, if that's the case, then it's questionable if that hair is Aveda Zara or not. Okay? If it's Aveda Zara, then as the Mishnah says in Aveda Zara, you have to throw the object of Aveda Zara, you have to throw it into the Yam HaMelech, into the Dead Sea, meaning you can't benefit from it. You can't give it to as a present to anybody, because that creates good feelings, so you're benefiting from it. It's like chametz, you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it.
So, but if you have no knowledge of it, until the point that...
So the question is, to what extent is there a doubt you have to be strict by Aveda Zara? But anyway, the bottom line is, the Gemara says, that our Mishnah says, that Arla, Klaya Karam, Sharan Niskal, all these things which have forbidden to benefit from, if you do Kedushin with them itself, it's not a valid Kedushin, because if it's forbidden to benefit from, you didn't give the woman anything. Or Chametz and Pesach, or what... But, the Mishnah says, if you did sell it, the money is not forbidden to benefit from, and you could do Kedusha. So Gemara said, where do we learn now from? So the outcome of the Gemara is, the fact by Aveda Zara, it's like that. The fact by Shemitah, it's like that. That the money has the same din of the original object itself, but the Torah says an excluding expression, both by Aveda Zara and Yevil, who and he, which means only Aveda Zara, only Yevil, Shemitah, has that din. So from there we learn out that by everything else in the Torah, which is forbidden to benefit from, the money that you sell it for does not become forbidden to benefit from.
Like if you sell,
in other words, if you sell chametz on Pesach, that money is not forbidden to benefit from.
So if a Jew goes, let's say he goes to somewhere, buys a statue, used statue, doesn't know what it's been used for, just sees it in a store, secondhand store, buys the statue, sells it, takes the cash, let's say invests it as a partner in a company with other investors. What happens to that company?
To burn down the company and collect insurance money.
What happens?
You're asking a question, you have to know more facts to be able to answer. What are the chances that the statue was worshipped? Was it worshipped? Wasn't it? Okay, you have to find out.
If it looks like the church, it's probably
using what? Whatever statistics are available.
If it has a big belly, it was probably worshipped.
It depends if it was worshipped or not. It depends if it was worshipped.
How would the women know the hair came from India?
Because the Shaitel people knew that the hair came from India. An antique dealer would have a problem buying things, antiques, from countries like China. I mean, if it's the objects that they would worship.
If you heard somebody was thought that it was spiritually connected to the outcome of that money, would you say that person is very superstitious, or is there a connection?
Let's go right there. Mishnah. Nun Chesam and Aleph closer to the bottom. Okay? Now, tell me this. We know Truma is only eaten by a Kohen, correct?
Yeah.
Maaser is eaten by a Levi. So now what happens if a Yisrael gives a woman Truma? That's Kedushin. She's also Yisrael. Okay, he's a Yisrael, she's a Yisrael, but a Kohen gave him some Truma. Or like the Gemara says, it could be inherited it from his grandfather who was a Kohen. But he's not. Right? A guy can have be a Kohen, right? Have a daughter who married a Yisrael, and they have a son who's a non-Kohen, right? And he inherited from his grandfather, he inherited Truma. Okay? And the Yisrael gives Kamoza to a woman with Truma, and he says to her, or a Levi comes with, or Yisrael, I'm saying, comes with Maisen. Or Truma, Matanis, the Mephoshim explain, certain animals that you shecht. So the Kainim get certain parts of the animal, like he says in the English, is called the foreleg, the cheeks, the stomach, have to be given, Chazer Sheik is given to the Kain. Or Mechatos, water from the Parah Aduma, or Efer Chatos, with the Chatos ashes of the Parah Aduma. Right, you used to take water, mix it with the ashes, I mean, what we just read last Shabbos, right? You take the Mayim with the Efer, and you mix it together. So the din is, Areza Mekudashis. The Kedushin is valid. And the one's going to explain why. What?
It's valid.
It's valid. Afilu Yisrael, even if he's a Yisrael, okay, that he needs to give Truma, okay, what happens if he takes the Truma instead of giving it to the Kohen? He gives it to the woman. Okay, the Mishnah says it's a good Kedusha. The Gemara is going to discuss why. It's very interesting Gemara. Okay, Amar Ula Ula says,
What is in our mind right now, that what is the problem should be like?
Well, it's not
simple right now.
It belongs to Kain, not to him.
Only Kain can eat.
Right? It belongs to Kain. Mice is interesting because really mice is not holy. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Amr Ula Ula says, Tevis Hanah Einamam. This is something we discussed last night at the Chumash class, by the way. Tevis Hanah means the following. It's a very interesting argument in many places in Shas. When I am a farmer, okay, I have to give Truma, Maiser, Bikurim, all that stuff. Now, the Torah says, I have to give Truma to a Kohen, Maiser to a Levi. So it's really not mine. It's Hashem's. Hashem says you have to give it to the Kohen and to the Levi. But I have the right to give it to the Kohen of my choice. Correct? That ownership, the Torah gives me. The Torah doesn't give me ownership because I have to give it to a Kohen and a Levi. But the Torah gives me the balabatishkeit, the ownership, to decide who to give it to. The question is that money or not? Is that considered monetary value or isn't it?
It is. Why? Because you could swap it around between different Kohens and see who gives you back, who gives you the biggest rebate.
So you can't take rebates from the Kohenim. It's forbidden to eat. First of all, Jews don't give rebates. Here to the Kohenim and Levi'im, they're no rebates, trust me. Now.
They do surcharge, not rebate.
With penalties. But in other words, where do you see a practical din of this? Is it money or not? First of all, like we're learning here, Kedushin. Are you giving the woman something or not? If you're giving her truma, she can't eat it. Right? She has to give it to the Kain.
She sell it. Because she had to give money
out of it. Yeah. She has to give it to the Kain. Yeah. Right? Is that ability to give it to the Kain of her choice worth money or not?
Benefits of the gratitude.
Right. Or I'll tell you another din that we discussed last night. I have truma, and I normally give to this nice Kohen over here. Yeah, that's who I normally give it to. He's a Kohen too. He comes to my house and grabs the truma. I said, 1 minute. I want to give it to him. He said, what's the difference? It has to go to a Kohen. I'm a Kohen and I took it. It's not yours. It's not the owner's. He has to give it to the Kohen, right? It's not mine. I have to give it to the Kohen. Yeah? So I'm a Kohen. I took it. The question is like this. He can keep it.
Yeah.
But does he have to pay me this Tevis Hanor money? In other words, the fact that I can give it to him instead of him, let's say that's worth $5. Yeah, let's say it's worth $5.
The enjoyment you get out of
it. The enjoyment that I have the right to decide who to give it to. That's enjoyment. It's a certain enjoyment that I, because I have the power of making a decision. Right? So, let's say it's $100 of truma. Okay? He comes to me and grabs $100 of truma. I say, wait, I wanted to give it to him. He said, I'm a kohen, I took it. Does he have to give me $5 or not? If Tevis Hanoah is money, then he has to give me $5. He doesn't have to give me the stuff back, because it's not mine, it's a kohen's. And he took it as a kohen.
Well, we learn if he steals somebody's mitzvah, you have to pay.
Oh, I was just going to say that. The same thing the Gemara says, one second. If I steal a mitzvah from you, I steal your opportunity to do a mitzvah. The Gemara says there's a fine of the Gemara puts a value, a monetary value. Interesting, a monetary value on a mitzvah. X amount of gold. That means you stole. So you didn't steal something tangible. If you really want to get off the topic, this is a very interesting in contemporary halacha. It's very, and I'm going to talk now words, but I don't know what I'm talking about. If I have Wi-Fi, I don't know what, I honestly don't know what I'm talking about now. I can tell you the halacha though. If I have Wi-Fi, and you come into my Wi-Fi without permission, are you stealing or not? Is that costing me more money?
The law of the land says?
No, one second. Let's talk theoretically. Or, if I steal your idea. You have an idea, okay? And I steal your idea. Did I steal something?
Yes.
What did I steal?
The potential.
What did I steal? If I steal a book, I stole a book. I steal a cup, I steal a cup. I steal money, I steal money.
This could change it to money.
Is it tangible or not?
No, not tangible, but it changes to money. This idea changes it to money.
But it's not tangible.
I'll give you...
That's something that could cause another personal loss.
But is it direct or indirect?
It's indirect.
Okay. The Marshal. The Gemara says, in Pirkei Avos, it says, Ha'emer Dove b'shem Amrei mevi ge'ula le'olam. If you say something in the name of the one you said it from, okay, you bring Mashiach to the world. You bring ge'ula, okay? The shaila is like this. If I hear something from you, okay, you have an idea, and I hear it from you, and I say it over in my own name, so the Mishnah says, if you didn't, it's Geula Leilam. You bring Geula. But if not, is it stealing halachically or not? Granted, I don't bring Mashiach. Okay, I'm not bringing Geula Leilam. But is that called stealing? Can Beis Din force me to pay because he stole something? If I stole nothing, Beis Din can obligate me to pay for something I didn't steal. What did I steal?
Right?
Stand. You can't even steal less than a pruta. Even less than a shava pruta is also stealing, the Gemara says. Right? But the question is, if I don't steal, but that's tangible. It's a half a cent. If I steal something, okay, so this is the question with Teva Sanat to a certain extent. Is that tangible enough that there's a monetary price on it or not? We're not talking about jury, we're talking about what Taylor say. So Ula says, Tevis Hana is not money. It's not considered money. So the Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? If a Yisrael gives a woman truma, it's a good kedushin. Right? What monetary value does the woman have in the truma? No. Only the fact that she now can give it to the kohen of her choice. Correct? She can't eat it. She's not a kohen. Right? She can't eat truma. She's not a kohen. So what am I giving her really?
Nothing.
Well, I am giving her. I'm giving her the option that she can give this truma that the man is giving her to the kohen of her choice. Now, if that's money, then the man gave the woman money. He gave her something that's worth money. If your whole teva sano is not money, then what did I give her?
She knows that she got truma?
Yeah, even if she knows, it doesn't matter.
That person is not valid to begin with. Why can't she eat it? Why can't you give something that she can't acquire? I mean, she's not a coin. She
doesn't have foundation.
I mean, she has no connection to this.
Let's see what the Gemara says.
Amar
Ula Ula says, Teva Sana ain't a mummy. It's not money. Eithi Rababa Lo Ula. So Rababa asked the question to Ula. 1 minute. We learned in our Mishnah, this Mishnah we just learned. HaMekadish B'Truma Maisris Matonis Mechatas Eifer Paro Areizu Mekudeshes Afilu Yisrael. Even if it's a Jew. I mean a Yisrael, not a Kohen. So L'chaira, what is the man giving the woman, if not this Toves Hana? And the Mishnah says it's a good Kedushin. That means you are giving her something. It is valuable. Right? So it seems to contradict the din of Ula. Amalei Ula said, no. It's a different case of our Mishnah. Hacha b'Yisrael shenaflu leitvalim mibes avi'i mekayin. A Jew who inherited tevel. Tevel means untithed grain from his grandfather who was a Kohen, but he's not. In other words, his mother's father was a Kohen. He died and left over grain untithed. Okay? Huh?
But now that he got it,
he's going to have to give truma
from
it.
From the mother's side, that makes it not a
Kohen. It
comes from the father.
The mother's a Bas Kohen, so he's not a Kohen. Because his father's a Yisrael.
1 second. Let's clarify the thing that you just said. If a Kohen is a farmer, okay, his grain, he cannot eat. He has to tithe it also. Because the din is, grain that was untithed, you're not allowed to eat. So the din is, that a kohen who owns a field, he has to give teruma, but he can give it to himself. In other words, he has to separate it, because we were mentioning this last night. When you have challah, okay, you bake challah, you need to separate challah. Separation of challah is one of the gifts to the kohen. Okay, but today we don't give it to the kohen. Today we burn it. But you still need to separate it. Because separating truma, maaser, challah, all this type of stuff that you give to the kohen and to the levi, it does two things. Number one, it allows the grain to be eaten. That if you didn't separate challah, truma, maaser, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the grain. Secondly, the separation is a gift to the kohen. So therefore the din is, even a kohen also has to separate. But he can keep it. He's a kohen. He can keep it himself. Maisi has to give it to the lady. So he says like this. It's speaking in a case that the tevel, meaning the untithed grain, was given, he inherited it from his grandfather.
From the mother's side.
The Kosava and this Tana holds in our Mishnah, Matonish Loihurmu, unseparated gifts are considered as if they're separated gifts already. Now,
what do you mean?
It means like this. This is, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's very interesting. Unseparated things is considered separated. You have many times the Gemara says, something, something that's fit to be mixed, even if you did mix it, it's considered mixed. Okay? The din is like this. This kohen, let's analyze the situation. The kohen, one second. So this is the story over here. The kohen that died has a lot of grain. He had to separate it. Yeah. He didn't.
Yeah, okay.
But it's considered separated. Because this Tana holds, even though it wasn't separated, it's considered separated. What does it mean, considered separated? Now, this guy, the grandson, inherited it. He inherited all of it. Including the truma that's in it. Okay? So let's say there's 100 bushels. Okay? 100 bushels. And average truma is 2%. So it's 2 bushels out of the 100, right? 150. 2 bushels. So the kohen now died with 100 bushels that he didn't separate yet. But in these 100 bushels, there's 2 bushels of truma.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Now, this grandson, the Yisrael, inherits it. The problem is, all 100 are his. Okay? Because that kohen could have technically separated it for himself. He can separate and give it to himself.
He could have.
He could have. And the fact that he could have, it's done. This Tana holds. Now, so listen. This grandson inherits 100 bushels. They're all his. Okay? Obviously, he can't eat 2 bushels. Because 2 bushels belong to a kohen, and he's not a kohen. But he could sell them to a kohen. He doesn't have to give it to a kohen, because they're already separated by his grandfather to the grandfather himself, who was a kohen. But the problem is, a Yisrael can't eat truma. So what must he do? He could sell 2 bushels to a kohen of truma, right? And he could make money from that. So that's the case in the Mishnah. When Yisrael gives truma to the woman, it's money because he could sell them to the kohen. And now she could sell them to a kohen. She doesn't have to give them to a kohen. She could sell them to a kohen. So it's not only Tevis Hanoah money that she could give it to the... any. Here's actual tangible money because she could take this truma and sell it to a kohen. So it's valuable. So the Kedushin is valid. But normally Ula says, if it wouldn't be this case, our Mishnah would say Eina Mekudeshes. If a guy, a Yisrael, just gave a woman truma, it would not be a good Kedushin. Because what could the woman do with it? It has to be given to the kohen. She can't sell it to the kohen because it's truma. Right? So the only thing she gets from it is she could give it to the kohen of her choice. But Ula says that's not money. So how is the case in the Mishnah a valid Kedushin? Because the grandson inherited from the grandfather. And the truma is in there. And it was already separated for the grandfather. But he can't eat it just because he's the Yisrael. But he could sell it to a kohen to eat. And that's value. And therefore the Mishnah says Mekudeshes.
Wouldn't he have, you have to be specific on the condition of such and such?
There's no condition over here.
Well, yes, in this case no. But wouldn't he have to say, this is the truma... She has to know about it, no?
No. Yes, he could tell it's truma, but if she has a right to sell it...
What if she's consumed?
You have to say that. You need to say that this is...
You have to tell her it's truma,
if
correct.
If she doesn't sell it, then it's not valid either.
It is. She could sell it.
Then it's not...
It's still valuable. Something you could sell, just because you don't, doesn't mean it's valueless, it's valuable.
She needs to know when she can take it.
That is truma, correct.
I'm giving you this truma to
right.
sell.
So that you could
it.
Sell.
That you could sell.
So she doesn't need it.
Right.
Could somebody buy theirs, like if they don't want to get from their own crop, get the same amount? From
no, no, it has to come from your stuff. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Boy minei Rav Chiya bar Rav Miravuna. Ula said a statement before, Teiva Sano is not money, right? So Mar says, 1 minute, there was a shayla that Abchir Baraba asked from Rav Huna. Teiva Sano, mamen or ain't a mamen? Is it money or isn't it money? Amalei, he said, what do you mean? We just learned it in our Mishnah. Hamakadish betruma b'mayis matan b'mechad to zeifer apara hadeizem mukudeshes even in Yisrael. So obviously Teiva Sano is money, right? Not like kula. So he answered Amalei. He said, understand. V'lavu kimna. Didn't we just establish the Mishnah that it's not speaking by Teiva Sano? It's speaking by Yisrael shenaflu tvolim b'esavii mekayin that he inherited from his grandfather. Yeah, he said. You bring me a proof of Mishnah. We just said that the Mishnah is not a proof. We said the Mishnah is speaking about a grandkid that inherited tangible money. Amalei, so Rav Huna said to him, Hutsa'at, you are Hutsah. We don't know what that means. Ichsev, Rav Chia became embarrassed. Rav Chia got embarrassed. He was told by Rav Huna, you're a Hutsah. He got embarrassed. Hutsava, he thought, because hutsa means hotsei, take out, removed. He thought, he said, that you are mishmaita kamal, you are removed from the halacha. Meaning, it's as if he said to him, you don't know what you're talking about. That was embarrassing. Amalei said, no, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean to embarrass him. He said, hocha kamina, rav atzi do husol. Rav Asi from the city of Hutzel says like you. He called him Yehutzel. So he thought he's telling him you're stupid. He said, that's not what I meant. I'm saying that Rav Asi from the city of Hutzel thinks like you. So the Gemara said, Nemekatanoi. Lucheira, this argument, if Teiva Sano is money or not, Lucheira should be an argument of Tanoim. Why? It says, again, if Tivle Shel Chavedei, if somebody steals Tevel of his friend, Tevel again is the untithed grain. So let's say I have 100 bushels of untithed stuff, and a guy comes in the middle of the night and steals it. So then is, Meshalim Medimei Tivle Shel Chavedei, you have to give him back the Tevel. Meaning, the whole 100 bushels you need to give back. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Eina Meshalem Ela Dmei Chulin Shabay. You only have to give him the 98 bushels accepting the Tumah. Meaning like this. Very simple. I have a bar 100 bushels. Correct? I didn't separate anything yet. Really, two of bushels I have to give to him, but I didn't. I have 100 bushels. You come in the middle of the night and steal the 100 from me. All of it. Okay? How much do you have to pay me back? 98 or 100?
92.
Oh, because the 2 doesn't belong to him, really?
Two.
I say to you, you stole 100 bushels from me. The guy says, I didn't. I only stole 98 from you because 2 belong to Okay, not to you. So how much does he have to give him back? 98 or 100?
90.
No. So Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to give him the 100. Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Eina Meshalim Ela Dmei Chulin Shabay. You only have to pay him the grain, excluding Meiser, Truma, all the things that you have to separate, that you don't have to pay back. Because you have no right to demand it back, because it's not yours. So the Gemara thinks, 1 minute, what is the basis of this argument? Rebbe says, you have to give back all 100. That means nothing. I mean, everything's yours. And the other opinion says, you have to give back 98, let's say.
Unless the thief is a coin.
No. So it says, my love, this is probably what they're arguing about. Mar Savad, Rebbe says, Teiva Sano is mamon. Teiva Sano is money. Therefore, you have to give me back all 100. Because you didn't steal 98, because I can give this to the kohen that of my choice. That's money. So you have to give back all 100. Omar Sav Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says you only have to pay back 98, he says, Teiva Sano ain't a mamon, therefore you don't have to give it back. So Gemara says, isn't this argument whether Tevis Hano is money or not, it's an argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda.
Wait a minute, doesn't he have to pay double his soul at night?
He did it during the day.
Taking good, huh?
Even though you're right, this is a gainif, but it doesn't matter. That's not what the Gemara is discussing now.
We discussed that last night.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, no. No. I'll tell you what the argument. That's not the case of this Mishnah. Everybody holds Leilam Akul Amatavisana Einamam. Maybe everybody holds it's not money. So why do you have to give back 100, not 98? So he says, you know what the case is? Exactly like our Mishnah. The grandson inherited the tavel from the grandfather, who was a kohen. Okay? And therefore, there's truma in there, that he really can sell. So the 100 belongs to him. What does the other opinion say? No. The fact that it wasn't separated yet, doesn't make it separated. So therefore, the grandfather never separated it. You have to give 2 bushels to the kohen, so therefore you can only have 98. But if you hold, like Rebbe, you have to give back all 100, because Rebbe holds, even though it wasn't separated, it's considered separated. Therefore you inherited all 100. So therefore he has to give you back 100. But it's nothing to do with Tevis or not.
That's the Mishnah,
below. That, the Mishnah, does our Mishnah is explained, like that's the same thing that Mishnah.
Doesn't it also say that you're supposed to not take, it has to be given? The fact that they take it doesn't.
How does that? The Torah says you have to. It belongs to a
kohen. But they can just go and take it.
We're still trying to establish this.
Well, the Gemara is in the middle. Or Ibai says another answer. The Gemara says, "Kul alma, everybody holds as if it was separated, and Tevis Hano is not money." Okay, so what's the argument? Why one opinion says you have to give back 100 and the other opinion says you have to give back 98. They're arguing in the din of Shmuel. What is Shmuel's din? Shmuel holds by Truma one kernel. Remember we mentioned this last night also. One kernel is good for the whole barn. This said you have to give 1/50th, 1/40th, 1/60th is rabbinic. Minatera, one kernel is good for 10,000 bushels of teruma. Okay? So this is the argument. When you steal from me 100 bushels, you can't come along to me and say, 2 bushels are not yours, I don't have to give them back. Because I can give one kernel for teruma if I want. So all 100 bushels minus one kernel, okay, one kernel you don't have to give me back. But the rest is really not truma, because I could do truma with one kernel. Therefore you have to give back all 100. The other opinion says 98, says no. One kernel is not enough for the whole barn. You have to separate the proper amount. Then 2 bushels are taka, not mine, so therefore you don't have to pay him back. Or Iboy say more. Another answer is Kulama less lishma, nobody holds like Shmuel. For Hochainu time of the Rebbe, what's the opinion of Rebbe? He says, Consul Rabbanu Laganav. He says, you know why Rebbe says you have to give back all 100? You don't have to. It's a fine the Chacham gave the Ganav for doing it. You know, there's mamash a knas that the Chacham gave him. Legally, the guy would not have to give back the 100. Right, but to discourage him from doing it, Chacham says, have to give back all 100. If it's a ganav, for lead trum also. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ibois him another answer, Kula Alma Islu Shmuel. Everybody holds like Shmuel that one grain is enough. See, if so, why does he have to give him back only 98? Should give him back all 100? It's a fine the opposite way, it's a fine to the owner. What's defined? Konsur abon lebalabos. The chasoch gave a fine to the balabos. Why did he allow his tevel to remain so long without being separated? There's a rule that a Talmud Chacham, the day he gets it, the day he separates it. That's the rule. So this guy didn't, and therefore all 100 bushels were stolen. Chacham said, you know what? You're guilty. Really, you should get back 100. But you know what? You're only getting back 98. Because you should have separated like you were supposed to and you didn't. So one answer, the Gemara says, we give the Ganef a fine. Really, you should get back 98, but we fine the Ganef. The other answer is just the opposite. Really, you should get back 100. You know why you're getting back 98? Because you did something wrong by not separating Truma right away.
And you're rewarding the thief.
Well, he can't, but again, like he said, he can't eat it. He has to give it to the Kohen, depending how frum he is.
A frum thief.
Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Tanan, who's going to finish up the perek. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah like this. Mekadish betrumas amaisis. In our Mishnah again. Right? He did, guy did kedush. No, the Gemara is going to ask a contradiction between our Mishnah and another Mishnah. In our Mishnah it says, Mekadish betrumas amaisis. Matonis mechatas veifer padareis imukadeshes. Even though it's a Yisroel, remember we learned that we just learned in the Mishnah. But Aminu, I'll ask you a question. It says in another Mishnah, haneit aschar lodun. If somebody takes payment to be a judge, dina betelim, his decisions are void. He's not. His rulings are not kosher. Lohoyed, if a guy takes money to testify. His testimony is void. Lahazis, if somebody took money to sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma or the kaddish for mixing the ashes with the water, meima of meima, his water is like cave water. It is not good for paraduma. The efer and his ashes are efer makla, like ordinary ashes. Okay, what's the question over here? The question over here is like this. The Chayra, here from this Mishnah, the second Mishnah, that says if you take money to judge, your dinim are not good. They're not kosher dinim. Okay? Because you're not allowed to do it, it invalidates your action. Because our Mishnah says, if you do Kedushin with Mechatas, it's a good Kedushin. Correct? That means you're getting something out of it. You're doing Kedushin. Right? Our Mishnah says, if somebody takes the ashes of the Tepor Adum and does Kedushin to a woman, it's a good Kedushin. That means he gave her something. He gained money out of it. And the other Mishnah says, if you take money, if you gain money for doing the paraduma is not kosher paraduma. So how can we say here the kedushin is valid when if you take money to do it, it's not valid at all? And here the guy's taking money because he's making money by doing the kedushin to the woman.
Paraduma is not kosher, but the actor already it
could still benefit. 1 second. The Gemara is going to answer similar to what you said. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Lekash is not a question. Why isn't it a question? It depends mixing it or schlepping it. Now the Gemara says like this. Schlepping the water to the place to mix, that you can get paid for. Because that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the mixing of the ashes. That you can't get paid for. For a mitzvah, you can't get paid for. To judge is a mitzvah, you can't get paid. To take testimony is a mitzvah, you can't get paid. This, the judges get paid. They're not getting paid to judge. They're getting paid because they could have done something else instead.
Same as Torah teachers.
Torah teachers, all that stuff. Okay? But the Gemara's question was, the Mishnah over there, not our Mishnah, says that if you get paid to do it, it's not valid. And our Mishnah says it's a good Kedushin. So Gemara, Abai answers like this. Our Mishnah is speaking about schar havo umilui, transporting the ashes and drawing the water out of the well. That's not the mitzvah. For that you can get paid. Kam b'schar hazav v'kiddush. The other Mishnah, in Brachas, where it is, that says, I'm sorry, not Brachas, B'chayrus, that says you can't, and if you do, it's not good. That's speaking the reward for hazav v'kiddush, for the actual mixing and the actual sprinkling. That you cannot take money for. And they kanami dumar says, Abai says, I'll even prove it to you. Because over here in our Mishnah it says, mechatos be'efer potam. Okay? And over there, it says, lahazes ulekadesh. The sprinkling and the making the guy holy. So what does that mean? Our Mishnah, it's a different terminology. Our Mishnah is referring to a case when the guy schlepped the water. It wasn't mixed. Or he schlepped the ashes. Then you can get money out of it. And with that he did kedushin. The kedushin is valid. The Mishnah B'chayrus that says it's no good is speaking the actual mixing and the actual squirting. That you can't get paid for. And therefore the Mishnah says if you do it for money, that's not kosher. But here we're not talking about the actual, in other words, he was Mekadosh before it was mixed. Or, that, as Mepharshim explained, that she's getting the benefit that he schlepped it. That is money that he can get paid for. So that's for monetary value. And he's doing the kedushin to the woman with the money that he's giving her that he schlepped it to the place to mix. And that's legally valid to take money. So therefore it's money and therefore it's a valid kedushin.
Does it say that actually was one of the cases that the kedushin was made?
It doesn't say.
Just say it's hypothetically.
Right. Hello?